Thanks for tuning in to the Prime Nostalgia, the podcast dedicated to entertainment from childhood. That's 80s, 90s, the latest 2000s. Cause Prime, you know it all, and Lee Boy be wild. And it's from all that, dropping gems for you to find. So that's orange, the light is line. Prime time is all the time. We talking about the classics, and there's so many. That's Lee Boy TV and PRIME. Wow.
What's going on, everybody? It's me. It's the PRIME. Coming at you guys with another episode of the Prime Nostalgia Podcast. Yes, we're doing it differently this week. If you're watching on YouTube, we're audio this week because, you know, we had some, you know, some stuff happens. Libra went to Vegas, got wild.
We turning and, up. That's it. And I need some time off camera, y'all. I'll be back next week.
We're talking about Bobby Brown. This man needs no introduction. We're talking about the documentary, and we're talking about his top five songs, in our opinion, our favorites. And overall thoughts about the doc. What did you think?
This guy has been through so much in his life, and it's like you think you know a guy until you watch their full documentary. And he's had a bunch of documentaries and people tell a story in the past, including a reality show. But to hear him just relive all the tragic things that he's gone through in his life was really heartbreaking. You know, once again, even though you know a lot of these stories, just coming from his perspective, it meant a lot, and he really showed his strength throughout the documentary. So, you know, I thought it was definitely eye-opening and definitely entertaining. I mean, Bobby Brown is no one to sneeze at when it comes to his talent, and his antics off the quote-unquote court are just as entertaining. So what'd you think about it?
I thought it was cool, but I personally didn't learn nothing new, but that's just me. But I guess for everybody else, it's a cool, like, thing to watch over and stuff, you know?
Well, I'm saying even if you knew everything, just hearing him say it and put it in his perspective to me was different. Because I did, you know, hear a lot of those stories in the past, but and I know he has been pretty open over the years. You know, I had forgot that his last son also basically passed over. It wasn't really an overdose, but just well, I guess it was an overdose of fentanyl. Spoiler alert. But he wasn't really depicted to be a huge drug user like the rest of the people in the story. But really, it's just sad that he had to go through that again with Bobby Jr. And like, I had kind of forgot about that, or at least I was so numb to so many bad things happening to Bobby Brown. It just seemed like another day, which is just unfortunate that he's gone through so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a lot. I don't know where to start. This is a four-part doc, kind of like the Janet one. Obviously, Janet had Renee follow her with a camera, so you know you have some stuff, but you don't have everything. You just have like pictures and such. But I guess we're gonna start. You know,
I mean, in the beginning, it starts crazy. Part one. And I mean, he tells the story about the priest and the molestation type stuff or whatever. I don't even know if we can say that on YouTube. And trying to get police. No flags, look. But not the things that were happening with him in the beginning is just, you know, terrible. But from that, you know, I like the story from his perspective about how the group started, how he, you know, he's the one that gathered everyone up.
Yeah, basically what happened was at that time he was probably scared to go by himself, and then, you know, he got two people to go up there with him, because once there's more than one, you feel more comfortable.
Right, and I just love like how he said after school I was going to talent shows every Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Like, he was really a kid on a mission, and you know, there's always kids like that. Especially growing up as a child star, I would see people that had a certain drive, certain commitment to the industry, and he definitely fit the mold as far as you know, his story and how he told it. He seemed like he definitely had a good head on his shoulders and was gonna thrive in this entertainment game somehow, some way.
Yeah, and then, you know, obviously we got N.E., the new edition that started and you know, and gone. And I'm just bypassed the N.E. stuff. We already know N.E., great group. We already know this. But bypass him acting up and his antics getting him out the group. With you being a child star, how do you maybe see some people that acted similarly to this? How can you, like, spot that out?
Man, I don't remember nobody going hard as Bobby.
If not anybody, this hard, but obviously.
If anybody
like, you know.
Me out there. Look. but, nah, I mean, I think it sucks that he didn't really get a second. Well, I don't know how many chances they gave him. And I'll just say from the beginning, I really did not realize that he only done, well, he recorded the second album, but didn't do any of the tours or anything or any of the videos of the second album, right?
Third album.
Third album. But yeah, I was just, I was surprised that he was out the group that soon. I mean, obviously I knew about the whole Johnny Gill thing, but I had to be reminded of all that. And I think if anything, it just sucks that they allowed him to go down that dark path as a child and just kicked him out of the group versus trying, you know, it didn't seem like they really tried to rehabilitate him or really try to get him to change. The management, you know, as adults, I think they should have had more care for him and more compassion for him as a child as far as finding a way to keep him in the group. They just said, well, we just going to vote him out. It's like, really? He started the whole group? Like,
no, honestly, I think it's the management, because obviously the management was making money from them, ripping them off. So, you know, at that time, it probably was just like, if management tell us to do something, we have to do it because we don't know. Like, at that age, they don't know necessarily of, like, you know, the fight back or the pushback or nothing like that.
Right.
So they
right.
just kind of,
No, I was going to say, I wouldn't blame New Edition either. I put it all on the management, you know, because they put them in that situation knowing that they're kids.
Yeah, and obviously they're, you know, Ronnie's uncle was the manager, but then, you know, he got kicked out. So at this time, he wasn't managing the group. So he couldn't look out for Bobby either at that time, because he wasn't even the manager either.
Mm.
But, yeah, so obviously, yeah, we you know, he's out the group, and now he's solo. And he's one of the biggest musical acts, maybe the biggest musical act in the world, you know. He's up there.
Well, he started off with a flop, though, they said. They said that first, the first little track wasn't really booming like that, the little ballad.
I mean...
The Girlfriend, right? Girlfriend?
Yes, Girlfriend. The song Girlfriend was good, and that did well, but the album did not.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it, you know. You come from New Edition, where the whole album was, you know, basically selling and everything to just one song of Bobby's. It's kind of... It's an adjustment.
They were holding him to a high standard. It's like, yeah, you still got a he still went number one with the single, so it wasn't too bad of it. That would not be a flop for anybody else except Bobby Brown at the time.
Yeah, especially when you know you got can't. Yeah, but I know you haven't seen this, but there's a video, and I wish they would have probably put it in here since they was talking about the flops. But he was performing at an award show. He was performing Girlfriend. This was before he was doing My Prerogative. He was just doing Girlfriend. And he was at an award show performing, and nobody was singing. And he was like, you mean to tell me we got all these people in here? And he started naming, you know, whoever, Madonna, whoever was there. We got all these people here, and none of y'all can't get up and sing with me? And then he just kept trying, bro. He tried for 6 minutes. He held this song out to 6 minutes, and nobody was really singing, so he just got off stage. So I was like, damn. Kind of messed up, but it happens, man. Nobody don't be trying to have fun at that time. Nobody was trying to actually watch musical performances. Trying to sit down, man. Enjoy the show.
I will say that Girlfriend is not going to be in my top five. I'll just say that. So
it's not, but when you talk about like just a smooth song, it's like a smooth song. Like you get it, but obviously it wouldn't be at the top. No, not at all.
Mm-hmm. But we already talked about his first solo album.
Talking about Girlfriend, yep.
But then that second solo album, when he came with the Heat Rock, and I'll say, you know, most of my list will be doing the top five in the second half of today's episode. A good chunk of my list is from his album, as, you know, as expected.
Yeah, also, we did an episode a few episodes back about, you know, our favorite albums of the 80s, and this was obviously in my list. I think this was my number two. So... Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes, Bobby's, this album is a monumental album. His highest selling album, obviously, but you know, it's a great album.
Yeah, and one of the brighter spots in the documentary, for sure. I mean, this is when you got to see him, you know, being the young, rambunctious teenager with all the money, and then he had his first kid, and, you know, he was doing his doing the damn thing all the way until he got back.
Whoa, now.
What's up?
He had his first kid, like, the second NE album, so, you know.
Oh, that was a little earlier?
That was way earlier.
Oh man, but he ended up, I was just gonna say, he ended up back on tour with NE, and I thought that was definitely an interesting dynamic where he started the tour off opening up and then ended the tour closing all the tour dates. And I think we talked about that before on this podcast. Yes. But I thought that was pretty indicative of, you know, the stardom that they were privy to at the time. Like, this guy was out of control.
I think it's a lot of things. For one, for y'all who don't know, the Heartbreak Tour is one of NE's like biggest tours. It's one of their like most famous. You know, that's back when they can move and they was doing everything and it was like sharp, and that's one of their most famous tours. And I think it was a mixture of Bobby getting big, but also Bobby getting big and getting a big head. He was like, oh. I'm bigger than y'all. So he just came late to some shows. He did just show up late just to go on last. But then some shows he was last because he got his you know, he became bigger.
I heard that's what Monique tried to do to D.L. Hughley, just saying, but she was showing up late. Like, nah, I'm going to go last. It sounded like the same exact scenario, but Bobby
Brown. Yeah, that's what a lot of people do to go last. Yeah.
Right.
And they show up like right at a time where the promoter just like, yeah, you go last because we're panicking right now. Basically, it's what happens.
Right. So he forced his way into closing the tour. But, you know.
But that was before. Because he was doing the tour. And at that time, he only had maybe 3 songs out. He had, obviously, his own girlfriend. He had Roni. He had My Prerogative. And he had, I think, Rock With You. No, he had Don't Be Cruel. He had 4 songs out to start the tour. And then at the end of the end of the tour, that's when he was doing, you know, Rock With You, Every Little Step. And I think when Every Little Step came out, that's when it was like, all right, he got to close because he got so many songs on this album.
Well, well, in the documentary, they was really focused on Don't Be Cruel. They were like, that's what got him out of here. So I'm not sure which song exactly, but it seemed like Don't Be Cruel was the one they were focused on. At least in the documentary, that's what they were saying. But that's, yeah. I mean, he just really took over at that point. And his stage presence, you know, bringing the girls up on stage and all that stuff really put it over the top. And what'd he say? I mean, he called King of Stage for a reason, right?
Yeah.
King of Stage right there.
Also, he did a lot, but, he went on a tour, like, Don't Be Cruel was so big, he went on a tour for 3 years for Don't Be Cruel. For 3 years. That's a long time to tour for one album, to promote one album. But Bobby did it. And, hey, shout out to him, because that's like, for you to promote a tour for 3 years and then not get stale, that's like something MJ was doing at the time. Like, you know, but, hey.
I mean,
more power to him.
And I mean, you can't help but see the MJ type of comparisons, at least, you know, from the whole group standpoint. New Edition, they have a lot of parallels to Michael Jackson and the Jackson 5. But I mean, you know, some of the people that he was working with, some of the sounds that he picked up and dance moves, obviously, he was just a more, you know, more hip, cooler version, and really became an influence to people like, you know, the people that were in the documentary, the Ushers, you know, Chris Browns and all the people that kind of went down that vein. But he's really kind of a link between MJ and the next level. I would say he was that pop star at the time. And, you know, like you said, shout out, done so much for, throughout his career for sure. And it got him to the Victor Goes the Spoils. I mean, it got him some great women around that time. It's linked to Janet Jackson, which is, you know, he's literally damn near in the Jackson family. If it wasn't for Joe Jackson, probably hating. And then Madonna's, you know, she She got her little mention in there. She was rumored at the time. I mean, he was literally living top pop star status, which is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, by the way, I'm going to just say he was definitely one of the influencers of New Jack Swing. I believe I believe that Bobby influenced Mike to make a New Jack Swing album. And that's just me, though. Mike's New Jack Swing album ish came out in like 92. So I'm just saying.
And, you know, I always respect you and your love for New Jack Swing, because I think it is one of the best eras of music, for sure, of all time.
Yeah.
Definitely one of the best.
Real quick, just on New Jack Swing. I think Bobby was one of the first ones to try it to go mainstream, because it was there. But I think Bobby and like people like Bobby Guy and Keith Sweat are maybe the early ones. And then after everybody seen that it was a method that works, then that's when other people came in, because that was a new style of music. So obviously you don't always know if it's going to work or if it's going to stick. So, you know, cheers to them too for being the front runners. But look, we're just going to skim through this whole thing. The rest of it, we got Whitney and Bobby talk. Obviously everybody knows the stuff about Bobby and Whitney and
do how, they? No, of course they do. I'm just kidding.
Obviously, you know, they got a TV show and everything. They know about the drugs and everything. I'm glad to hear Bobby say that they could have been better if it weren't for the drugs. I'm glad to hear them say that. I'm glad to finally hear them say, like, the drugs were getting to them and they knew it, but they kind of didn't. It was kind of too late type of thing. At least they acknowledged it.
Right, because for years, it was a whole lot of denial, a whole lot of why y'all in our business, a whole lot of we do what we do type thing. And not only, you know, they would have been better, but he also acknowledged that his career would have been better had it not been for the drugs, and that it really took a toll on them professionally, as well as, you know, within their relationship. So I thought that was also big for him to really step up and take that credibility, accountability, excuse me. That for him to take that accountability, because it is important in the next phase.
We just cut to now, you know, he's got his new wife, he got his new set of kids, and everything, and they're happy. And then we got tragedy after tragedy after tragedy. You know, Bobby Christina, you know, Bobby Jr., he goes to visit Bobby Christina and Whitney for the first time because he don't like to go to those eerie places. And,
Nick Gordon wasn't exactly a tragedy for him, but it was still another event that I'm sure was very triggering and shocking as well. I mean, it was.
I'm pretty sure he celebrated the day that man died.
Right. But I'm just saying, just having to deal with him being alive after his daughter passed too is just a whole nother event that was just, you know, it was crazy.
Especially when they found out he was the one responsible.
Because I don't know what I would have been doing in that situation. He showed a lot of restraint, I think.
So you can tell he changed. I'm pretty sure if this was like 80s or 90s, Bobby, he would have had somebody to.
He would have probably took care of it himself, not caring who was around if he was young at that time.
Or he would have hired somebody to do it.
Right. Know? For sure. Something was going to happen. Kind of straightening.
Anyways, man, Bobby is living his life, and you know he's in a better place than he's ever been. You know, he's sober from drinking and all that other stuff, so you know he's doing good. And
I thought he was living the grandpa life, but those are his kids.
He is a grandpa.
Oh wait, well, all them little kids were his though.
He got
how many of those kids was his?
He has three little kids. Cassius is 13, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And the other ones are like 10 and 5, I think.
Wow.
And then his oldest son has kids, but those are his only grandkids because his daughter don't have kids and obviously the other two are you know. Mm-hmm. So.
But yeah, no, but like I said, though, he got he's got a whole new family and, you know, I'm proud of that for him, happy for him. And, he's got a whole nother set that he could try it all over with. Cause, you know, went through a whole lot with that first group of kids. So just God bless him in the future. And, You know, I'm sure he's got it. It looks like he's got his head on straight. So everybody check out the documentary for sure. Check it out.
Mm-hmm. We want y'all to sit back, relax. After we come back from this break, we're going to talk about our top five favorite Bobby Brown songs. And some honorable mentions. Let's go and keep it rolling. We'll be back. And we are back.
Hey.
First half, we talked about the Bobby Brown doc. It was four parts. Y'all should go watch it or listen to our review of it. One or the other, we're just, you know, talking about our guy Bobby. But these are the top five favorite songs of his. And I'm going to go first. Mine is probably a song that you never heard of. Why am I saying that you probably never heard of?
I figured you was going to do some crazy stuff. So I just got the real top five on
whatever,
my
list. Man.
Go ahead.
I'm going to say he's a feature on this song, but it's still his song. And I'm going to say Glenn. I don't even know how to say this guy's name. I'm going to say Glenn Medros. She ain't worth it. I like his rap in this song, and the overall song is a good song, so like that's why I'm counting it in. And I, you know, this is featuring Bobby Brown, not like an audition song, so that's why it varies for me. But this one is a good song. Like, y'all should go listen to it. Honestly, it's a boppy song.
Is it a radio song?
Yes.
Okay, and the art, you say you don't know who the artist is, though, really?
His name is Glenn Medros. I don't know how to like pronounce it, but it's Glenn Medros.
Glenn somebody. All right. Well, you know, once this is, I'm not gonna lie, some of the songs coming up, I didn't even know these were Bobby Brown. Some of these songs that I heard from him, I'm like, this is Bobby. I ain't gonna tell him myself and tell you all the songs, but I will say this one in particular is one that I have been hearing, you know, all my life, and just associated with the new Jack Swing era and a certain groove, a certain bop. And didn't really realize it was Bobby until not too long ago, but it goes, my heart belongs to a Roni. She's my only love.
I'm going to say Marie's higher on my list.
Only love. Oh, yeah.
I'm going to say higher on my list, right, but it's my number four, so you're good.
Yeah, I don't know what it is about this song. It just exudes like definitely New Jack Swing. I ain't gonna lie, I thought this was like SWV or something. I swear to God. I mean, it definitely sounds like something they would sing, but listening to it, like obviously you know it's a guy. But you know, he was hitting some high tones and some high notes on here, but definitely about one of those What's the dance? The Four Corners? Did your mom do that one?
The Four Corners.
He's mine. Definitely some Temptation swaying, like some swaying side to side type vibe, slow jam.
This is the part of the show where he brought the girls up and did that, you know.
Yeah, I know. I wouldn't have taken it that far. But yes. Some hips is moving. That's all I'm trying to say. Some hips is moving, definitely. Mm-hmm. On this joint, yeah. The body rolls, but yeah, no, this is definitely just a classic. It's a classic. Yeah.
I mean, I think that's obviously you got the, you know, I think the breakdown or the bridge is the part that I think the song is cool, obviously, but this, I think it's the breakdown, you know, the truth about her, Ronin, she's a sweet old girl, sweetest mm-hmm. little girl. That part, mm-hmm. I think that's the part
in that the whole wide world. Yes.
With the toughest homeboy fall deep in. Yeah, that part. Because even in the shows, every time the shows come out, that's the part that he, like, amps it up. So, I'm going to say that.
Yeah, I like when he goes back and forth to the rap, to the song, singing. I mean, is he the first R&B artist to really just cross over to rap that easy, like within his own singles?
Probably, because he got a lot of songs on here that he rap in the middle of, then go back to singing, and then, you know, so. Yeah. I can see that.
Yep. And so, yeah, just let's keep it moving. Well, actually, I guess it's on me. It's on me with my number four.
Yep.
This might surprise you. I don't know. It might be too early. Hopefully, it's not too much higher on your list. But I will say, I didn't never knew the spelling of this particular single.
Higher my list.
I mean, you guys should have known, unless you thought prerogative was just spelled P-E-R like me. Did you know it was P-R-E-R-O-G-A-R, well, whatever it is?
Well, I'm going to tell you.
There's an extra R in there somewhere.
I'm going to tell you, they spelled it wrong. And then, they got, they, so, okay.
It
they
used to be it, my prerogative, right?
They, and now they spelled it wrong. Like, Bobby and them spelled it wrong. But the song was so big that they went back and changed the dictionary and they said, yep, this is how we spell it now.
Okay.
That I'm so serious.
Sense. That makes sense because I always just knew it was P-E-R-O-G-A-T-I-V-E, right? Prerogative. But then there's an extra R in there now. P-R-E-R. It's like, huh? That part is new. That's what you're saying, right? They mm-hmm. added that extra R after they had to correct it.
Yes, and so they added the R, so the dictionary said, you know what, this song is so bad, we're gonna change the word, the spelling for prerogative in general.
Shout out to Bobby Brown. Look, that's the type of star that Bobby Brown is, because that's just amazing. And you know, obviously this song is it could be arguably his number one song for sure. I mean, this is a preferential list, so let mm-hmm. me just go ahead and preface that. But, you know, this was definitely what got my attention as, you know, being a Bobby Brown follower and all of his stuff. This is what my dad was, you know, banging for sure in the car. I was like, this that Bobby Brown, son. You know how I go.
Now, my this is probably one of his most funkiest.
Yeah, and you know, my dad was a wild guy, so anything talking about, you know, do what I want to do. He was definitely telling my, singing that to my moms, and then they ended up getting divorced. But so blame Bobby for that too. Look.
Yeah, I just like, I think this is the song that I think encompasses Bobby's whole career, and he didn't even know it at the time. But
say I'm crazy.
Yeah.
And but, I don't give a damn. He was doing a little my MJ impression on there too, just a little bit. What do you think?
I think the one part that I just like the beat is just because you got a lot of stuff that goes into the beat, but you know you got the dun 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 dun. Then you got the synthesizer, you know, the dun 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 dun. Like
Everybody
that's a fan of music and making music, I think this song. This song is the one to want to copy.
Well, the actual message too is probably one of his most powerful messages. It's like one of the clearest ones to understand, and it's very relatable to everyone because everyone has their own prerogative. Everybody wants to do what they want to do, live how they want to live, and he has all those exact quotables throughout the music and the breakdown. Tell me why. Look, it's just too much. He just kills it layer after layer. Like I said, could have easily been number one, but you know, he's got some other joints. So my number four, your number three. We're almost right on track. So
yeah, nah, because
you started off with some crazy. What'd you start off with? What was that?
Bro, all right, man. You don't even hear it. So how would you know?
I don't. All right, so let's just keep on moving. Is it back on me then again?
Yeah, back on you, number two.
This is going to be fast. Number two. Oh, no, this is my number three. I want to rock with you, baby. All night long. I want to roll with you, lady. Hey, I didn't, you know what? I'm going to be honest. This is one I didn't know was Bobby for a long time. I mean, I don't know. I just didn't know it was Bobby.
I'm going to be honest with you.
This, because Babyface wrote this. That's why. It sounds like Babyface. Yeah, yeah. I thought it was Babyface coming up. But, you know, years ago, I found out this was Bobby. Or I saw it on the radio. You know, now it's digital and they tell you who's actually singing these songs. So I was like, oh, this is Bobby. I remember having that epiphany. But I think coming up, I always thought it was Babyface.
There are two versions of this song.
And oh, is that why?
No. I'm just saying that little they're slightly different. But to me, it's a big difference because the first one is cool, but the remix to it is more smooth and synth. It's the synth, I'll just like the synthesizer, so it's more smooth to me, the remix.
Okay, so, I have to check that out.
Yeah, but all right, rock with you. Okay.
All right. So where you at? You at number two. This is your number two.
Yeah, for me. My number two. Is probably most likely your number one. I'm not sure. But, I mean, you still got two to go, so I'm pretty sure it's going to be higher in your list regardless. But this is Every Little Step.
Every Little Step. Yeah, it is higher on my list, so everybody knows my number one. But it could have. It's all right. It's all right. It's all right. I mean, you guessed it, or you just spoiled it, but... Cool. So do we want to just go to my number two then?
Yeah.
My number two, maybe it's your number one and we could just have, we could just mess up the whole end of the show.
If it's my number one, then it'll be crazy. But all right, what is it?
Don't Be Cruel. You got no call to treat me cool.
Okay, you're good. You're in the clear.
Okay, cool. So Don't Be Cruel. And I think this could have actually been also a. I mean, he has a lot of hits that could be number one. I mean, we've already heard my Every Little Step, Don't Be Cruel. I really, you know, if I'm like really having my own personal list, it might be Roni at number one for me. But I'm just saying, like, he has a lot of great songs, and Don't Be Cruel just stood out. To me as a great pop hit, like, I think it really took him to the next level as far as, that crossover on, in his solo career, whereas Girlfriend, you know, was just, it was like more of New Edition. And I think this one, the Don't Be Cruel single really, like, it put him in a different lane as a pop star. So I just credited that, credit this song with that rise and then people seeing him in a different light. And, yeah, I mean, it's just a great song. Yeah. I don't want to see you if I met you. I don't even know the words. Look, I don't know.
This is one of the songs where he goes from singing to rapping back to singing. So I like this a lot.
He has a couple rap breakdowns on there, no?
Yeah, he has three. Yeah, it goes back and I think forth, he has three. He has three.
Oh, yeah. No, he was killing this. And then he hit that, oh girl. Doom, doom, doom. And yeah, the music was just fire in this whole Don't Be Cruel album. But that single, definitely special. Definitely special.
Neither here nor there. All right. So my number two, we already talked about your number two. So what I'm going to do, that kind of Brian low-key, I'm going to read some suggestions from the people.
All right.
You have the Nostalgia Test podcast. They said Every Little Step. You got your boy Champ Fitness said Getaway. I like that. You got Irvin. He says he says Thug Lovin'. Ja Rule.
The loving, the loving, the loving.
I know y'all can ball. No. Yeah.
Yeah, he must have been watching Cisco on Wild Wild West or something. Like, he was like coming out the gate crazy on that one. That's my only honorable mention, by the way. The loving, the loving, the loving.
You got Brett Wilson. He says, Roni, Every Little Step, Humping Around, and My Prerogative.
Okay. Yeah, humping around is definitely a joint, too. Definitely a joint, but...
Jamar from 80s, 90s, and 2000s vibe said, Don't Be Cruel. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, Don't Be Cruel is a jam. Shout out to Jamar.
Rated Retro, Max from Rated Retro said, Rock Picture and My Prerogative. Of course. That we've been getting a lot of that, My Prerogative, but you know, that's, hey, you know, we got Blast From Our Past. We got a lot of people. All right, so I got to get through this. We got Blast From Our Past podcast that says, Don't Be Cruel, My Prerogative, Every Little Step are a must. So,
yep.
I did not know we had this many. Hold on. Let me scroll down. Let me keep scrolling. All right. We got K-Rob, Kevin Robinson from Comedy Hype says, Thug Lovin'.
I know you'll get bored. Dealing with him.
My loving. Oh man, that's what you could tell. He ain't sung in a while, so his voice was kind of still
struggling. Yeah, he was struggling. It sounded like Ja Rule singing that, but
Everything 90s podcast said Rock Richer, Every Little Step, and Beautiful.
All night long.
Beautiful with Damian Marley. You know how that go?
I can't remember that one.
Beautiful. The same as Thug Lovin', but different.
Just screaming?
Yes.
Is that what was going on? Running around and screaming?
You never heard that part? Oh my gosh, man.
I probably have, but...
It's just that one. It's that one part. Cause it's like the song is like, okay, you know, the song is cool, but when he hit that beautiful, it sounds just like Thug Lovin', literally just like it.
Yelling.
and you got, Brian, he said, Don't Be Cruel, Thug Lovin'. I know y'all can, all right, now. We have a lot of people say Thug Lovin'. A lot of people say Thug Lovin'. So
it was.
I mean,
I ain't gonna lie. It was in my top five. I couldn't disrespect him like that. I'm like, this is disrespect.
Every Little Step, My Prerogative, and Humping Around. And everybody's saying Thug Lovin', man. We might just have to play that during the break or something. My honorable mention is the Rock With You, the remix to it. You know, like I was talking about, the little smoother version. And the song Getaway, I like Getaway. I think it was like what he was going through at the time or whatever. He got to get away from whoever. And I like it. You know, it's just, I gotta get away. And then the sample of that song is George Clinton. You know the George Clinton song I'm talking about, right?
Which one?
The one that's in Good Burger.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so that's basically why he's singing. It's the in the back. Mm-hmm. So yeah. So yeah. Those are my honorable mentions. Do you have any other honorables you want to mention?
No, I mean, I said Thug Lovin'. That is definitely so honorable. but I couldn't disrespect it and put it in his real top five. And then obviously we left checked out an NE, all the new edition stuff, and he just had a couple albums with them. So definitely some of his best could have been in the top five if we included those, but just wanted to put that little disclaimer out there. But I love Humping Around. Definitely love that as well. Could have been close, but I like my top five. I like my top five. Mm-hmm. And it ends with number one, as you guys have heard. Every Little Step I Take. I mean, I think that specific one just really encapsulates everything that he did with NE, with New Edition. Really puts a stamp on that part of his career and allow him to move on to the next without looking back, but then still gave him something that he could do in that vein and keep that clean bubblegum look. So, but he was getting down with the steps on that one, right? So I think that was definitely why it was such a big influence on me, like loving dance culture. I just love the moves that he had in the video and the all white background, and you know, they're focusing on his steps, and had the fresh fit, had the Gumby. You know, that was definitely a highlight in his career and the reason why I hit number one for me. And like I said, I could have picked Roni. I think Roni nowadays would have been my joint. Like, but, you know, back then I was loving Every Little Step. You know, you couldn't deny it.
Well, I'm going to say, I put Every Little Step, but it's not the same if you don't got the rap. All right. This is the debut of the Gumby. I think this is probably maybe the first song that he did the rap and singing in the same thing. But this is the debut of the Gumby haircut, which he will be famous for later down the line. And yeah, you know, this rap was probably one of the first, so it probably wasn't his best, but it's still a cool little rap for the video and everything like that.
Now, in the documentary now that we just watched, they said that the Gumby wasn't an accident. But I felt like in the New Edition documentary, they said they accidentally chopped him a little bit and then just fixed it up. Now, what's the real story on the Gumby?
I'm going to just tell you right now. I don't know anybody that's thinking that far ahead to say, yeah, let me put a slope in my head and then play it off. But hey, when it's 40 years later and it's a good idea, you can play off any kind of way you want.
So what do you think, he planned it or not?
Do I think he planned? No. I think he planned to do something special, and then maybe after the dude cut it like that, he's like, nah, keep it.
And wasn't that DC Young Fly in the New Edition?
Yeah.
That's hilarious. But they said they was acting like it was a whole plan in the documentary, right? He had the barber in there and everything. All right, so that was your number one too?
No, that's my number two.
Okay. So all right, so I'm done with my number one. What you got at number one?
My number one is this song, and I'm sure you've heard it. You know, I'm sure you've seen the performance of this song. This is probably one of his most famous performances. But aside from the performance, I do like the song, and this is On Our Own. Bobby Brown, On Our Own, aka the Ghostbusters song. Yep, I'm putting this on my list. Because it's such a great song. It's such a great blend between rapping and hip hop and R&B, all wrapped up in one. I'm gonna say On Our Own.
And this was you said on the Ghostbusters soundtrack.
Ghostbusters 2, yes.
Okay, all right. Well, shoot, I'm gonna have to check it out. I don't know what the hell your number one is, sir.
You've heard this song before.
I'm sure I've heard it.
You've heard it, and also, by the way, this is the performance where he was dancing and then dropped what is perceived to be cocaine.
Oh, or coke, okay, I remember that.
And then to pick it up in the same step.
That. And he did too, right? Yeah, he was smooth with that. But actually, I'm playing it right now. Bobby Brown is definitely ahead of his time as far as the, you know, the music that he, the music and the artist that he worked with. He definitely cultivated his own sound, and that's another one of those songs that is very unique. So, love. I just like the singing in the back. That shit is funky. It's groovy.
Oh, sure. We are.
Now, is well, it me, was... or does Bobby Brown, like, his persona just doesn't match his on, like, recorded voice for some reason? To me, I don't know what it is, but, like, some of these songs, I've been pretty open about it. I didn't even know it was Bobby. Like, these could be women, these could be anybody. He just doesn't really register, like, the way he looks with how he sounds on record, but... You know,
but then again, when you have, like, you know, Jimmy Jam, Terry Lewis, and Teddy Riley.
They transformed him.
And and Babyface, that you kind of hear their, you hear their style. You don't really hear Bobby. But it ended up turning into Bobby. But, you know, his second album, he doesn't really have any leeway to tell people what he wants to do necessarily. Like, basically, like, if you get a Babyface song, it's going to sound like the rest of Babyface's songs.
Right,
you
know, right.
You get a Teddy Riley song, it's gonna sound like Teddy. So
those, and he did that to Tevin Campbell, and he did that to, you know, everybody that he worked with.
But, you know, let everybody know where to find you.
Hey, you can find me at LeeBoyTV.com, at LeeBoyTV on all socials. You can find me on YouTube when my face is available on this podcast. In our last couple episodes, please share the Allison Stoner episode with everyone. She definitely told some great stories and gave us insight on her career. And then in general, follow Child Star Reboot, follow Magical Life Media, follow LeeBoy wherever I go. And that includes social media and hopefully to a city near you in the near future. So follow your boy.
Did Sheesh pass yet or not?
Sheesh? Oh, no. Yeah. Sheesh, end of the month. I think June 26th. Sheesh is going to be coming with my guys, Sirius Noir, also Antonio Lewis Photography and all that. I'm gonna be hosting a rap show. Once again, it'll be a competition for a host of prizes, including music videos, photo shoots, things like that. So if you're interested, if you're a musical artist in the LA area, also contact me about that. And AIO Collective, I believe, is the name of the Instagram. So shout out to everybody at Sheesh.
Yeah, and you can follow me at KVNG Prime Time. Follow the podcast at Prime Nostalgia Pod. Follow, you know, 80s, 90s, and 2000s vibes. By the time you're listening to this, I will be, you know, in Atlanta with Katrina and Angelique. So, I guess follow them and you'll probably see me doing something throughout the day. I don't know.
Yes, sir. And then you know what they say about this podcast. You know, we always say when it's coming to an end, prime time.
It's all the time.
We out.
And we out.
Thanks for tuning in to the Prime Nostalgia, the podcast dedicated to entertainment from childhood. That's 80s, 90s, the latest 2000s. Cause Prime, you know it all, and Lee Boy be wild, and he's from all that. Dropping gems for you to find, so there's orange, the light is line. Prime time is all the time. We talking about the classics, and there's so many. This Lee Boy TV and PRIMPL.